need both sides. Yeah, one is bashir, good tiding, and encouragement, and one is punishment, as you said. So we as a parents, we have to also have the same style, yeah, for our teenagers.
Yeah, we have to balance in
exactly
these,
yeah,
both. As Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, through his messengers and the messengers of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, they did perfect balance. You know, whenever they needed, they gave good tidings. And whenever there was need for punishment, they scared the people of the Qiyamah, the day of judgment, the punishment of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So likewise, parents should use this technique.
I think it's a very skillful, like it's not easy to be balanced and in you know, use all these beautiful techniques in a very moderation. Usually, you know, parents, what they do to their teenagers, for example, they start threatening them. Yeah. If you don't fulfill your duty, I will take away, you know, your mobile or your, you know, whatever iPad from you. So most of the time they are giving warnings too much, you know, like our life, our way of training is full of warnings. Yeah.
Which is totally wrong. Because it, you lose your respect in the eyes of your teenagers if always you give him threats and you say, don't do this. If you do this, I will not give you this. So it means you are acting like an enemy. He thinks that you are his enemy.
Yeah.
You are using always threats.
Yeah.
So we should be very, very balancing in these qualities. So we will take a short break. Inshallah, after break, we will come back.
This is Voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran.
Contact us at englishradio@irib.ir.
Dear listeners, welcome back. Let me recite the ayah, the holy verse, where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَمَا نُرْسِلُ الْمُرْسَلِينَ إِلَّا مُبَشِّرِينَ وَمُنْذِرِينَ.
Yeah.
We never send messengers or apostles, إِلَّا مُبَشِّرِينَ وَمُنْذِرِينَ, except they give good tidings or they are mundir. They are
giving warning.
Yeah, warning.
About
they are
future,
warners.
Yeah, warners.
فَمَنْ آمَنَ وَأَصْلَحَ فَلَا خَوْفٌ عَلَيْهِمْ. Whoever acts upon those good tidings, whoever believes on them, so they have no any khawf or fear of the Jahannam. Walahum yahsanun. This is very important. And they do not have this
grief
in themselves. And وَالَّذِينَ كَذَّبُوا بِآيَاتِنَا, the people who deny our signs or deny our prophets, يَمَسُّهُمُ الْعَذَابُ بِمَا كَانُوا يَفْسُقُونَ, then they will be punished.
Yeah.
They will be warned.
So maybe our children, our teenagers, they will ask us, yeah, that why punishment is there? You know, why we have to punish them sometimes and why Allah is punishing us? So I think the answer is so beautiful. Like, we have to sit with our teenagers. We have to tell them that the base and the foundation of religion and relationship between creation and creator is on love, on mercy, on, as we said, good tiding, Bisharat. You know, the base is love. The punishment comes when you go away from that path of love.
Definitely.
So punishment means, warning means, like Allah wants us bring back to that path of love. You know, Allah wants to connect us towards Him. So the punishment, yeah, inside the punishment, if you dig the punishment, inside the punishment is also love and bisharat and motivation towards good deeds, you know? Like you are again motivating him or her, your teenagers, towards good. You know, this point is very important. You know why? Because we have to see our intention.
Yeah. When you said this, I remember nowadays in these, you know, advanced, you know, vehicles and cars, they have a system, lane keep assistant or lane control assistant. Whenever your car goes out of the lane, it brings on the lane again.
Really? Yeah. Beautiful.
So this is like a warner, yeah? Like, you know, guide.
We love those cars which has a good warners, you know. Those
so
are more
we
advanced.
We should act like this for our teenagers.
Yeah.
Whenever they go wrong, in a way, we should bring them in the right path. That they should not feel that we are, you know, supervising them, insulting them, or
harming
disrespecting
them. Yeah. They should be thankful. And sometimes our children, they come to us, our teenager, they say, thank you, mama, thank you, baba. You know, we did so many mistakes. And because of you, we come back to our, you know, right track very easily.
Yeah. Dear listeners, let's take a short break. We will come back after the break.
Ya muqiyal khayrat, ya muqiyal khayrat.
Imam al-Sadiq alayhi salam said, Allah will be merciful to his servant for his intense love for his child.
Dear listeners, welcome back. So encouraging is very important, but we should not become very extremists again in this. We should not keep encouraging always, you know,
no
then
doubt.
It loses its values.
Yeah.
So whenever there is need, we should encourage. For example, few qualities if your son teenagers has, we should encourage. Because if I get encouraged, no matter how old I am, it gives me a lot of confidence.
I remember the letter of Imam Mahdi, ajalallahu ta'ala farajahu sharif, towards, I think, Sheikh Saduq, one of the great scholar. Sheikh Saduq, this great scholar, he was in his very young age, maybe 20, 21, and the way Imam is addressing him, it's so beautiful, very attractive. Imam is saying, Mu'tamadi, like you are the one to whom I can put my trust, to a young guy. So this is kind of encouragement. Or Imam is saying, you are my supporter, my helper. You are just helping me by your pen, by your writing, by your tongue, by your hands. So we have tons of sayings of Ma'sumin in which Imam is just encouraging his companions by just looking, focusing on their positive attributes.
Yeah, so it shows that the encouragement should be according to the quality, the act they do. For example, our teenagers, sometimes they do a small good thing. We should not give, very too much encouragement. So many gifts and very expensive gifts, no.
Especially mothers, they are spoiling their children sometimes. Yeah, I get the point.
For example, if he, gets good marks in, for example, math or in science, according to this act, we should give encouragement. We should encourage them. Because if we encourage a lot, so it will increase in their expectations also. So next time, if they do a better thing, so they will expect definitely more encouragement from us. And if we do not encourage, then they will feel, you know,
hopeless. Yeah,
yeah, they will feel that they are not paying attention
to
me.
Yeah, yeah. So moderation is very important.
Number one, the encouragement according to the act they are doing.
Exactly.
And number two is on time encouragement. This is very important. You know, if they have done something right on the time, we should encourage. For example, if they have done good thing right now, you know, after 2-3 days, we encourage them that, oh dear, you did that thing that day. Thank you so much. It was awesome. It is useless sometimes.
Yeah, it's really, we're delaying it. So that is not very useful. Yeah. I remember, I think Ayatollah Shah Abadi, he was the teacher of Ayatollah Khomeini. In a documentary, Ayatollah Shah Abadi's children, they were telling that whenever we used to recite Quran, you know, our father would say, if you recite Quran, I will give you this much money. And that son of Ayatollah Shah Abadi, he himself is Ayatollah, and he was saying that I have collected so much money. You know, I was so young, very, very young. And because of that, we got this habit of recitation of Quran. And I remember when our son Ali, he's 17 now, and when he was, I think, 9-10 years old, he would go to the mosque of our area. One elderly person used to give money, small sum money to boys who would come
for
namaz. For
the namaz jamaah, he would give them, for example, 1,000 tuman, which is not so much money, but the
beautiful notes. And that guy, that person was very, very humble, you know, humble and very kind. So Ali would love to go.
I remember a lot of, you know, teenagers and even young adults or toddlers, they would come sometimes, you know, 7-8 years old.
Yeah.
And that was mosque. Still, that mosque is, you know, one of the very, very famous
busy mosques. And busy with not only adults, busy with teenagers. That is very important.
So encouragement on time plays a very, very important role. Let me finish this episode. Dear listeners, thank you for joining our program. If you have any question, comments, or any suggestion, you can write us at englishradio@irib.ir, and you can follow us on our social media, Call of Islam Radio, and you can visit our website, parstoday.com. Until next episode, wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Do you know what Islam says? It says that life's the greatest test. It says that life's a borrowed space, returned upon rest.
Could you tell a little about yourself?
I'm Eric Shumanandi from India.
I was born actually in London, England.
I'm a journalist by profession.
I'm 20 years old and I'm a student of first to six. My dad, who taught me the art of writing.
Listeners special.
In the name of God, the compassionate, the merciful. Salam, dear listeners, and warm greetings to you all on this beautiful Sunday of spring. Welcome to this week's edition of Listeners Special. Today is April 3rd, 2022. I'm Atef Erfani, hosting this program today. Listeners Special is the Sunday program where your views are presented through emails, letters, and messages. So contact us and tell us what you think about IRIB English radio programs. If you have any message for our listeners around the world, then you can record your voice, send it to us, and get your voice heard. Please do remember, Listeners Special is your program. It's your views that are important. And happy the beginning of the blessed month of Ramadan to all Muslims around the world. May God accept our fasting and worship in this blessed month. Keep us company until the end of the program. Welcome back. This is Listeners Special, and we are on a very beautiful Sunday of spring. And here, we truly appreciate those of our great listeners who have kindly sent us reception reports, including Mizanur Rahman from Bangladesh, Juan Antonio Bertolin from Spain, and Paul Walker from the U.S. And we are very happy that we've received these reception reports from our great listeners around the world. It shows their commitment and support to IRIB English Radio. And as usual, many of you have taken the trouble of sending us reception reports. As you may know, these reception reports are very helpful to IRIB English Radio staff, especially to our technicians and engineers, because actually these reception reports enable us to provide a better service to our listeners around the world. And as usual, all of you who have sent in a reception report will be receiving an electronic QSL card from IRIB English Radio. And of course, we've received many emails and letters from around the world, which I mentioned some of their names here. And later during the program, I will read these emails. From Finland, we've received an email from Ismo Kopi. From the UK, we have an email from Richard Cook, one of our regular listeners. Mizanur Rahman, one of our old and regular listeners from Bangladesh, has sent us an email. Again, from Finland, we've received an email from Jerki Hitonen. And the last but not the least is an email from Uruguay from Freddy Irigoyen. Many thanks for being with us. So we've received an email from Finland, from Ismo Kopi. So let's see what Ismo Kopi says. Greetings from Finland. I'm happy to report that I hear IRIB English Radio loud and clear here in Loja, southern Finland. Please listen to the recording I made and attached to verify I heard you. Part of this hobby is also reporting the reception to the station's head and collect the station's verification. My name is Ismo Kopi and I am 57 years old, entrepreneur from Finland. I am married and I have three lovely children, 26, 17 and 15 years old. I live in a house about 60 kilometers west of Helsinki, the capital of Finland. My hobby is DXing. It is the hobby of receiving and identifying distant radio or television signals. The name of the hobby comes from telegraphic shorthand for distance or distant. Salam and warm greetings from Iran, from IRIB English Radio. To you, Ismo Kopi from Finland. We are so happy that the signals of IRIB English Radio are received in your region. As you said, you live in Loja, southern Finland, west from Helsinki, the capital of Finland. That's great. Thank you for sending us this email. It was very kind of you. So you've become a new listener to IRIB English Radio, and we received the part of the recording you recorded from IRIB English Radio Broadcasting, and we verify it here. So, you are an entrepreneur and you are 57 years old. That's great. And you have three children. God bless you. And your hobby is DXing. So, promise to be a regular listener, Ismo Kopi from Finland, and don't forget to tell us your views about IRIB English Radio broadcast in your upcoming emails or letters to your radio station, IRIB English Radio. Ismo Kopi from Finland, my colleagues will soon send you an EQSL card. And from the UK, we've received an email from Richard Cook, one of our old and regular listeners. So Richard says, "Dear friends at IRIB, COVID-19 is slowly declining and I'm waiting for my second jab to begin. I would like to listen to more English broadcasts, but what I can say about your programs is that they are often good broadcasts. I hope you have a good week." First of all, salam and warm greetings to you, Richard Cook from the UK. And many thanks for sending us this message. So, as you said, COVID-19 is slowly declining and you're waiting for your second jab to begin. And that's great. We hope that COVID-19 comes to an end very soon around the world. And in Iran, the situation is good. And the majority of people have received the booster dose of COVID-19. And the COVID-19 is slowly declining in Iran. And as I said, we hope that this virus comes to an end very soon around the world and everyone becomes healthy and safe again. We are so happy that you described our programs and our broadcasts good. That's great. Richard Cook from the UK, write to us soon. We are looking forward to hearing from you very soon. Don't forget to tell us your views about the quality of our programs and signals in your upcoming letters and emails. My colleagues will soon send you an EQSL card as a confirmation. So after a short break, I will be back with an email from Mizanur Rahman, one of our old and regular listeners from Bangladesh. Stay with us, please. Welcome back. Here we've received a congratulatory message from Mizanur Rahman from Bangladesh, and this congratulatory message is on the occasion of Nowruz and the beginning of New Year in Iran and some other countries in the region. So let's see what Mizanur Rahman says. Dear IRIB English Radio, for millions of people across the globe, Nowruz is no small celebration. The United Nations says Nowruz promotes the values of peace and solidarity between generations and within families. It's a time of reconciliation and neighborliness, contributing to cultural diversity and friendship among people and different communities. And we could all use some of that, no matter what it's called. Nowruz is the Persian New Year, but you don't have to be Persian to celebrate it. Nowruz is a universal celebration of new beginnings, wishing prosperity and welcoming the future while shedding away the past. That's why families use this time to deep clean their homes and closets and buy fresh clothing. Happy Nowruz to those celebrating it. Salam and warm greetings to you, Mizanur Rahman from Bangladesh, and please accept our appreciations to you for this great email and for this congratulatory message on the occasion of Nowruz. That was a great email. Thank you for that, and thank you for your message and your congratulations. Nowruz is a Persian New Year, but you don't have to be Persian to celebrate it. Nowruz is a universal celebration of new beginnings, wishing prosperity and welcoming the future while shedding away the past. Thank you very much. It was great. Mizanur Rahman from Bangladesh, write to us soon and tell us your views about of course, IRIB English radio programs and broadcasts. My colleagues will soon send you an EQSL card as a confirmation to your email. And from Finland again, we've received an email from Jerki Hitonen, one of our old and regular listeners. Jerki Hitonen says, "Dear staff of IRIB English Radio, happy Nowruz to you. Thank you for your email. I recorded a short message. It is attached as to my email. I hope you and your loved ones are safe and well." Salam and warm greetings to you, Jerki Hitonen from Finland. Thank you for your congratulatory message on the occasion of Nowruz. So my colleagues will soon send you an EQSL card as a confirmation. Write to us soon and tell us your views about IRIB English radio programs. And after a short break, I will be back with an email from Uruguay. Stay with us, please. So, here we have an email from Freddy Irigoyen from Uruguay. Freddy says, "Hi, dear staff of IRIB English Radio. Hope you're well. I tell you that for quite some time I have been busy and like to try to listen to distant shortwave radios and to be able to obtain their QSL confirmations to collect, the more distant the better. My native language is Spanish, so it is sometimes difficult for me to listen to other languages. I am not fluent in English, but I understand to some extent to be able to report moments of listening. I could listen to them for now with my portable radio. At the moment, I do not have many recommendations to make due to what was said about the language barrier and that it was only a few minutes of listening. However, I found your programs interesting to listen to." Salam and warm greetings to you, Freddy Irigoyen from Uruguay, and please accept our gratitude to you for sending us this email. So your native language is Spanish, but sometimes you listen to English programs, including IRIB English radio programs. But the letter you've, this email that you've sent us, the context of the language is great. So your English is good. And we hope that you could listen to more programs of IRIB English Radio in the future and tell us your views about our programs. Many thanks for sending us this email, Freddy Irigoyen from Uruguay. Write to us soon. My colleagues will soon send you an EQSL card as a confirmation. And before we wrap up this week's edition of Listeners Special, again, I congratulate all Muslims around the world on the occasion of the beginning of the blessed month of Ramadan, the month of God. May God accept our fasting and worship. So, dear listeners, please keep in touch with IRIB English Radio and your program Listeners Special, and have a good time.
Dear listeners, your opinion is always important to us. We invite you to spend just a few minutes writing us a letter or sending us an email. We'll be glad to hear from all of our listeners who have any questions or comments about any of our programs. Our postal address is IRIB English Service, PO Box number 19395-6767, Tehran, Islamic Republic of Iran. You can also send your emails to EnglishRadio@irib.ir. That is one word, EnglishRadio@irib.ir. Please visit our website at www.pasttoday.com/en. Our phone number is 00982122013720. Once again, our phone number is 00982122013720. Our profile is also in Facebook. Our address is www.facebook.com/pasttodayenglish. Thank you all for being with IRIB English Radio.
questions and answers on Islamic beliefs.
Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuhu, dear listeners of IRIB English Radio. This is your host, Musa Al-Bahadili, and you are now listening to the program Q&A on Islamic Beliefs. Joining us in the studio today is our dear friend and esteemed guest speaker, Sheikh Murtada Karimi, from the Islamic Seminary of Qom. Dear Sheikh, I welcome you and assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah.
Wa alaikum assalam wa rahmatullah, and thank you for having me.
Thank you for joining us, dear Sheikh.
My pleasure.
Our question today is a very important question because it deals with one of the very fundamentals of Islam, as we believe that Islam is based on two things, the Thaqalain, the Quran, and the household of the Prophet. Mm-hmm. So this question is about one of these two heavy weights, these two weighty things, and that is the Quran. We as Muslims believe that one of the miracles of the Quran and of the Holy Prophet, peace be upon him and his family, is that the Quran is immune to change, to alteration, to corruption. We believe that the same Quran that was revealed to the Prophet 1,400 years ago is the same Quran that we have today, and it will stay this way for all eternity. So the question is then, why, with this miracle that we believe in is that is present, why are there differences in the recitation of the Quran? Isn't this proof of it being altered by human hands and thus corrupted? And does this not open the door for the alteration and rewriting of the Quran?
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. To be honest, this is one of the very difficult questions to be answered. Of course, there is some typical answers given to this question, but I'm trying to mention maybe some new ones. Of course, I'm taking benefit from some of the contemporary scholars to hopefully give a convincing answer to this very important question. Before that, we need to know about what these differences of recitations is all about. And why do we have this, what we call it, ikhtilaf al-qira'ah, to begin with? Now, just to give a short history of it, from the late 2nd century and the early 3rd century after Hijrah, we have a kind of movement among some Muslim scholars to choose the most authentic recitations of the Quran. Did we have different recitations? I will explain later. But before that, we had different recitations. Let me just give one example, so maybe some of the dear listeners may have an image, picture of what we're talking about. So, for example, in chapter Hamd, we say, أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله رب العالمين الرحمن الرحيم مالك يوم الدين ملك يوم الدين.
Right.
So these are two different ways of reciting this verse. Malik Yawmiddin means the owner of the Day of Judgment. Malik Yawmiddin means the sovereign of the Day of Judgment. Now let me just share with you the typical answer given to this question. Although we have two, different recitations of this verse, but both of them are correct in terms of meaning.
Right. The meaning doesn't change.
So we cannot call it a kind of tahrif or distortion and alteration of the Quran. And maybe this is another miracle of the Quran, that although you may recite it in two ways or three ways, but both of them are correct and all of them are correct.
Right.
So this is one of the answers given to this question, but we need to go further. Or for example, in one verse we have yakhda'una, some people recited yukhada'una, and so on and so forth.
Right.
Now, the first person, so we have different recitations of the Quran, and some Muslim scholars began to choose among these recitations to come to know which one is the best one. Because when you recite a verse, you can, based on different indications and evidence, you may come to this conclusion that this recitation seems at least more authentic in terms of the meaning and Arabic grammar and so on and so forth. Now, the first one who began to do that, according to some scholars, was a person called Harun ibn Musa, who was born in 201 and passed away in 291 after Hijra, and also Qasim ibn Salam, who was born in 157 and passed away in 224 after Hijra. This Qasim ibn Salam, he identified 25 people as the best reciters of the Quran. And he recorded the ways that they recited the Quran. And the famous Qurra Sab'a, the seven reciters of the Quran, were among them. Now, one century later, Abu Bakr bin Mujahid, who was born in 245 after Hijra, and he passed away in 324 after Hijra, he did a lot. I mean, he tried a lot to study about these different recitations of the Quran, and finally he chose seven reciters as the best reciters of the Quran by recitation. Now, here I mean not in terms of
sound.
Yeah, I mean, when we have different ways of reciting the Quran, for example, he chose this person as seven people whose ways of recitation of the Quran or reading the Quran is the most authentic.
Right.
From that time onwards, the concept of Qurra Sab'a became famous. And also the seventh ways of recitation of the Quran. Later, some people added three other reciters. So we have another term, the ten reciters. But the first one, the seven reciters,
is the more famous,
is the more
widespread one.
Yeah.
Right.
Now, the other problem, if I may call it problem, is that different people narrated from these seven reciters of the Quran. For example, we have Asim. He is one of the seven reciters of the Quran. Now, we have two, for example, narrators from this person. One of them is, for example, Hafs. That is why we have the famous recitation of
right.
Hafs from
Asim.
That's
the most common one currently.
The most common right. one. But the point is that we have other people who narrated this recitation from him with slight differences. And that is why two of the narrators were chosen. And now we have another term, which is 14 riwaya, or 14 narrations. Seven reciters. From each one of them, we have two narrators, which make up 14 narrations of the
right.
Noble Book of Quran.
Questions and answers on Islamic beliefs on IRIB English Radio. You can send your questions to englishradio@irib.ir.
I think it would be interesting if I may share the names of these people, because it is also a matter of jurisprudence nowadays. One of the questions which is asked from the Shia scholars and also maybe Sunni scholars is that which one of these recitations are we allowed to recite in the Quran?
Which
is the correct
right.
one? All of these seven ways or 14 riwayah, or only one of them? The first Qari or reciter is Abdullah bin Amir Dimashqi, who passed away in 118 after Hijra. We have two Rawi or narrators from him, Hisham ibn Amir and Ibn Dakwan. The second one is Abdullah bin Kathir al-Makki, who was born in 45 after Hijra and passed away in 120 after Hijra. The reason I'm mentioning the dates of the birth and demise is that they were living at the time of the Imams of the Ahlul Bayt. It has a meaning for us, the Shia. So at the time of the Imams, we have these different recitations recited by different people. So from Abdullah bin Kathir, we have two narrators. One of them is Ahmed bin Muhammad al-Bazzi, and the other one is Muhammad bin Abdul Rahman. who was born in 195 after Hijra. The third is the famous one, Asim bin Ibn Najud, the famous Asim. It's been mentioned that he learned from Abu Abdurrahman, and he learned from Imam Ali alayhi salam.
Yes, we say that this style of recitation actually goes back to the first Imam.
Imam, exactly. And maybe this is one of the main reasons that we believe in this way to be the most authentic one. Two people have narrated from him. One of them is Hafs ibn Sulaiman, who was born in 90 after Hijra and passed away around the year 180 after Hijra. And the second one is Shu'ba bin Hayyash. So when we say that this is the recitation of Hafs from Asim, we mean that Asim recited the Quran in a specific way, and Hafs narrated that from him. The narration of Shu'ba from Asim is slightly different from that of Hafs from Asim.
Right.
The fourth one is Dhabban ibn Ala Abu Amr al-Basri. He was born in 68 after Hijra and passed away in 154 after Hijra. Two narrators, one of them is Hafs ibn Umar and the second one is Abu Shu'aib. Fifth is Hamdat ibn Habib al-Kufi. Two narrators, Khalid ibn Khalid and Khalaf ibn Hisham. Sixth is Nafi' ibn Abdurrahman. The first narrator is Warsh. This is also famous. When we say that this is a qira'ah of Warsh from Nafi', some of the Egyptian reciters in our time, they recite the Quran in this way. And this is famous as Warsh from Nafi'. So the main reciter is Nafi' ibn Abdurrahman, who passed away in 169 after Hijra. One of the narrators is Warsh, and the other is Qalun. And the last one is Ali ibn Hamza Kasai, who passed away in 189 after Hijra. Still, we are talking about the time before the minor occultation of Imam Mahdi, which means the presence of the Imam of the Ahlul Bayt. Two narrators, one of them is Layth ibn Khalid, and the other one is Hafs ibn Umar. So these are the seven reciters. As I mentioned, some people believe in 10 reciters. So they add three other reciters, Khalaf ibn Hisham, with two riwayah or narrations and narrators. One of them is Ishaq ibn Ibrahim Baghdadi, and the other one is Abu al-Hasan Abdul Karim. The ninth one is Ya'qub ibn Ishaq, two narrators, Muhammad ibn Mutawakkil, and Abu al-Hasan Ruh ibn Abdul Mu'min. And the last one is Yazid ibn Qa'qa, two narrators, Abu al-Harith Isa and Ibn Jammaz. Now, we have these seven recitations, or rather 10 recitations. From each one of them, we have two riwayah and narrations. Right. So this is the concept of Qurra Sab'a, the seven reciters, or Qurra Ashra, the 10 reciters. And from each of them, we have two narrations. That is why we have the famous term 14 riwayah or 14 narrations. Or if we go to 10 reciters, we have 20 narrations. So this is a kind of introduction to our topic regarding the concept of Ikhtilaf al-Qira'ah and Qurra Sab'a. Now the main question before going to the concept of Tahrif is that why do we have these differences to begin with?
Where did they come from?
Yeah, Quran was revealed in one way to the Prophet. Right. So why we have all these differences? But I think we need to deal with
that. Yes, we will answer this question inshallah next time. I thank the dear Sheikh for joining us today and for sharing with us his knowledge. And I also thank the dear listeners for tuning in. Until next time, fi amanillah.
Inna fil jannati nahran min laban. Inna fil jannati nahran min laban. Li Aliyin wa Husayn wa Hasan. Li Aliyin وحسين وحسان إن في الجنة نهرا من لبن إن في الجنة نهرا من لبن لعلي وحسين وحسن لعلي وحسين وحسن كل من كان محبا لهم كل من كان محبا لهم يدخل الجنة من غير حزن يدخل الجنة من غير
Fruitful Moments with IRIB English Radio. Log on to our website, www.parstoday.com/en.
Insights into the Holy Quran.
Indeed, this Quran guides to what is most upright and gives the good news to the faithful who do righteous deeds, that there is a great reward for them.
In the name of Allah, the compassionate, the merciful, dear listeners of IRIB English Radio, Assalamu alaikum. Welcome to another edition of the program, Insights into the Holy Quran by Sayyid Muhammad Hassan Mudarrisi, a graduate of the Hawza Seminary of Qom. Please stay with us.
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله رب العالمين ثم الصلاة والسلام على سيدنا محمد وآله الطاهرين In the name of Allah, the most beneficent, the most merciful. Dear listeners, hello everyone. Welcome to another edition of the program Insights into the Holy Quran. I am Sayyid Muhammad Hassan Mudarrisi, and in this edition, we will try to have a closer look at the 25th chapter, Surah Al-Furqan. First, let's just listen to the verses we're going to talk about in this program, and we'll be back shortly. So stay with us.
Bismillahirrahmanirrahim.
In the name of Allah, the entirely merciful, the especially merciful.
أرأيت من اتخذ إلهه هواه أفأنت تكون عليه وكيلا.
Have you seen the one who takes as his God his own desire? Then would you be responsible for him?
Dear listeners, we were discussing the 43rd verse of the chapter. أَرَأَيْتَ مَنِ اتَّخَذَ إِلَهَهُ هَوَاهُ أَفَأَنْتَ تَكُونُ عَلَيْهِ وَكِيلًا. Have you seen him who takes his low desires for his God? Would you then be a guardian over him? In the previous episode, we mentioned that this verse is talking about the most important root of all evils. Even the root of idol worshipping is following the low desires, is following any god other than Allah, which is called in this verse, Hawa. About the beginning part of the verse, أَرَأَيْتَ مَنِ اتَّخَذَ إِلَهَهُ هَوَى, great commentators have different opinions. Some believe that these idol worshippers do not observe any logic in choosing idols, but when they see something of interest, it motivates their low desires, and then they select it as their gods, they make sacrifice for it, they bow down before it, and they ask it to solve the problems they face in their lives. There is a narration in the occasion of revelation of this holy verse, which confirms this meaning. It is said that one year in Mecca, it happened that Quraysh were in a tight corner and they scattered here and there. As soon as some of them saw a beautiful tree or an interesting stone, they worshipped it, and if they found a stone, they named it Stone of Happiness. They made sacrifice for it, they poured the blood of sacrifice on it, and they asked it to heal their animals' maladies. One day, an Arab came and wanted to rub his camels against the stone so that they could be blessed, for example. But the camels did stampede. They scattered in the desert. Then he said a poem whose content is that I came to the Stone of Happiness to unify our dispersion, but it scattered our gathering. Then he said that what this Stone of Happiness is, it is only a piece of stone of that land. It neither leads nor misleads them. Another Arab saw one of these pieces of stones while a fox was discharging urine on it. And he said, is it a god on which a fox discharges urine? Certainly, the one on which foxes discharge urine is abject. So, these two commentaries are consistent with each other.
We hope and pray that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala blesses us with the ability to cover more of His divine.
In this series of programs, we will inshallah discuss the Holy Quran with a thematic approach.
We will inshallah discuss the chapter.
القرآن في أخلاقه وفعاله فيه الفؤاد تعلقا وتلاه في جنح الدجى متدبرا.
The context in which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala speaks in this verse is the context of mentioning the ills and problems and evils of the people of the book, the previous nations who have received revelation, and more particularly the Jew.
Now let's listen to some of the verses of the Holy Quran.
First, let's listen to a few verses.
Now let's listen to some verses of the Holy Quran.
Insight into the Holy Quran.
by Sayyid Muhammad Hassan Mudarrisi, a graduate of the Hausa Seminary of Qom.
The principle of idol worshipping that is generated from some superstitions is a kind of worshipping low desires, the root of which is following your low desires. Selecting various idols without any logic is also another branch of low desires, the root of which is the same. In this regard, we have some striking sentences about the matter. For example, Imam Ali alayhi salam has said, "Miserable is the one who is deceived by his own low desires and pride." This Imam Ali alayhi salam has said elsewhere, "Worshipping low desires is the enemy of intellect," which we have seen the result in this holy verse. They stopped following their messengers only to follow their low desires. The commander of the believers has said elsewhere, "Worshipping low desires is the source of pains, and neither religion nor intellect can be along with worshipping low desires." In brief, when worshipping of low desires rules, there is neither religion nor intellect but pain. There will be disaster and misery in that community. The Holy Quran says, "If the system of heavens and earth could be based on man's low desires, the entire universe would be corrupted." The Holy Quran says, "And if the truth had followed their low desires, certainly the heavens and the earth and whoever therein would have perished." And worshipping low desires prevents justice and pursuit of fairness, as the Holy Quran says, "Therefore, do not follow any passion so that you can deal justly." Brothers and sisters, we have more to discuss regarding this 43rd verse of chapter Furqan, and we will do so, God willing, in the next episode. We ask the Almighty Allah to set us among the guided ones and the people of the straight path. Wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Don't be saddened by what you see, by all the lies and treachery. Life is cruel, but don't worry. In your heart lies the key to unwind all the secrets. This life we see.
Thank you, dear listeners of IRIB English, for listening to us. If you have any question regarding our programs, feel free to email us at englishradio@irib.ir. Also, visit our website at parsetoday.com. Until the next program, take care.
Things always worked for me, worry, and that's when faith begins.
Cultural news, social news, scientific news, artistic news. With delight.
With neon lights on the floor and walls, pulsing electronic beats, and a glowing red shuttlecock bouncing back and forth, Malaysian badminton court evokes a sci-fi movie set. Shuttle in the Dark is a badminton hall in the iconic Petronas Twin Towers in Kuala Lumpur, Malaysia. It was set up in late 2021 by a sport management company to encourage people to take up the racket sport after 2 years of social restrictions because